We're on a very, very tight schedule.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Rothman. I'm from the Gun Owners Civil Rights Alliance in Minnesota. I'm the vice president. I'm here because the president couldn't make it, something about having to teach classes. Professor Joseph Olson founded the Gun Owners Civil Rights Alliance 24 years ago and has been working on gun rights in Minnesota for all that time. I'm the Johnny come lately, standing on the shoulders of giants. One of those giants is actually here with us, our bulldog attorney, David Gross, who has been there every step of the way for those last 24 years and even before in defending gun rights in Minnesota, is sitting right back there. David, thank you. We had a tough year in Minnesota this year, a good year, but a tough year, and we have a frightening year ahead. Less than 60 days after the Newtown murders, not the Newtown tragedy, not the Newtown shootings, the Newtown murders, that's what it was, President Obama brought his gun control roadshow to Minnesota. He stood in front of more than 100 uniformed law enforcement officers. And we got emails from some of those law enforcement officers. Street cops don't support gun control. They were ordered by their chiefs to be there and stand behind President Obama, even though they disagreed with his politics. President Obama stood in front of these police officers to kick off his national gun control effort, and he thought he had it made. He had a lot of reason to think so. Minnesota's always been a pretty blue state, but this legislative session is about as blue as it's been in a long time. We had a Democrat majority in the House, a Democrat majority in the Senate, a Democrat governor who makes Joe Biden look stable. President Obama thought he had a slam dunk, but then a funny thing happened. Hundreds of law-abiding Minnesotans spontaneously came to the Minnesota Capitol to the hearings. They all spontaneously came wearing maroon Gun Owners Civil Rights Alliance t-shirts, just like that one over there that Rob is wearing. I'm trying to help Rob kick off his modeling career, so help me out with that. We filled up the hearing room, and so they set up an overflow room with closed-circuit TV. And we filled up the overflow room, and so they set up an overflow room, and we filled that up too. And the gun control advocates, all 12 of them, felt a little intimidated because they were somewhat outnumbered. He thought he had a slam dunk, but he didn't, because the legislators looked out into the crowd and they had to make their way through those crowded hallways filled with maroon t-shirts. And I gotta say, it was the GRPC that helped us with that victory, because 2 years ago, I was at the GRPC in, God help us, Chicago. And the Chicago contingent was there, the Illinois contingent was there, the Illinois Cary folks, Valinda and Colleen and the whole gang, and they showed this amazing photograph. It was the Eigold Day. It was the Gun Owners Legislative Day. I don't know if I got that right. Hundreds and hundreds of Illinois law-abiding gun owners in matching yellow t-shirts marching down the street to the Capitol. And it was such a powerful image. I don't know anything else that happened 2 years ago, but I brought that home to Minnesota and I said, we've got to do that. So thank you, Alan. Thank you to the Second Amendment Foundation and the organizations putting this together. It probably made the difference between victory and defeat in Minnesota. Legislators noticed those maroon shirts. They couldn't help but notice them. And especially the legislators from outstate, especially the Democrat legislators from outstate, noticed that. And they figured out really quickly that they were not going to stand with their metro inner city colleagues. They were going to stand with their constituents. Because if they voted for gun control, their constituents, the farmers and the hunters, we're going to send them home. And please don't forget that We have to remember that we can't tell our friends and our enemies by the R or the D after their name. We have a tough year ahead. Michael Bloomberg has announced his targets. He said there are 5 states we're going to target where we think we can push gun control. Washington State, Oregon, New Mexico, Nevada, and Minnesota. We had 12 major gun control initiatives in Minnesota, and you know how many of them they passed? 0. They couldn't even get them to the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate because the majority leaders, the Democrat majority leaders, said that's not going to fly. In Minnesota, we had amateurs fighting against us. We had politicians, but we had amateurs in the gun control business. The Joyce Foundation and the Bloomberg folks have paid $100,000 for a professional political operative to come to Minnesota and to push gun control next year. It's going to be the hardest year we face. Minnesota's the front line, guys. If they get us, they're coming after you. If you have ideas, if you have help for us, if you have strategies, they're going to come. Find one of us in the maroon shirts. We're going to be everywhere. And if your organization can help our organization to meet that well-funded Bloomberg challenge, we need your help. This is the year. Thank you very much.
And now I'd like to welcome Linda Tripp, who is with our co-sponsoring ALICE. Excuse me.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is early in the morning. Yes. And Texas State Rifle Association is one of our co-sponsors at this event, and we really appreciate it. So everybody look for the sign over there and join. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Alice Tripp. I survived Linda Tripp and my husband's first wife, Mary Tripp. I'm the one with the sense of humor. I'm the lobbyist, the state lobbyist for Texas State Rifle Association. My officers are here and my members are here, and welcome to Texas. For those of you who don't live here, we have 254 counties. The smallest is in the east, the largest are in the west. This county has 2.2 million in population. My largest county is Brewster County with 9,000 people. We have a huge diversity. We have 25 million people in Texas, and we're growing. They expect 50 million, but I'll be gone by then. Now, that next 25 million are going to come from somewhere, and it's very scary. Because while they may move here for no income tax, and they may move here for one reason or another, they're going to bring their politics with them. So in the past 10 years, with our first Republican majority in the history of the state, remember we're in the South, although kind of to the West, we've been getting everything we can. We've been keeping Alan Corwin really busy with those little blue inserts. Yay, Alan Corwin. This last, we meet in odd years. We don't meet every year. We meet, our legislature now meets in odd years from about January till about Memorial Day. That's all. And we only pay them $600 a month. Senators and House members and the Lieutenant Governor, they don't want to stay. They want to go home. But yet it's a hard legislature to get bills passed, which, by the way, that's the way it should be. It should be very hard to pass law. So we've been throwing everything we can into the, it's like floating little paper boats. You make them and you float them and you go, that one's moving pretty good. We got 10 bills filed this session. We got 8 passed. good bills, and we'll keep after the ones we didn't get. Texas is a gun-friendly state, not as gun-friendly as some of you might think, but you can carry with your concealed handgun license in the Capitol. You'll have a special line, which drives everybody crazy. The CHL line, you go and swipe, and you don't have to stand with the chicken pox kids that just got off the school bus. So, I was asked by the legislature, maybe we shouldn't work on gun bills after Sandy Hook. Maybe we should just kind of cool it. And, you know, they want to weaken the Stand Your Ground Castle Doctrine bill. And I said, now, wait a minute. I'm 5'2". You want me to have to try to get away from an assailant between the Capitol building, where I can carry, remember, and the parking garage, because I'm going to have a duty to retreat except in my own home? Well, I said, are you going to have it like a Disneyland ride that you have to try to retreat unless you're this tall and under? Well, I kind of see your point. So why don't we leave it like it is? The bills are meant to identify and punish criminals, not restrict and intimidate the law-abiding. The Texas State Rifle Association has 41,000 members. We take care of Texas so that NRA and the NRA lobbyist that I work with in Texas has multiple states. She was in New Mexico their entire session, which overlapped with Texas. And by her hard work in manipulating New Mexico legislative rules, she was able to stop New Mexico from doing what Colorado did. So I don't care what association you join. For God's sakes, we can't all be right, but we must be effective. That's all that matters at the end of the day. Well, he's not the true conservative. Well, if he helped me with the gun bill, God bless him. I managed to flip the ACLU and got their help. Thank you.
Okay, whose name shall I butcher next? How about Sam?
Thank you, Julie. Aloha.
Aloha.
I'm Sam Sloan, and it was Ted Cruz that was talking about me on the floor of the Senate. Sam I am, green eggs and ham. As a trustee of the Second Amendment Foundation, I welcome all of you. It's great to be in Texas. As someone from the state of Hawaii, and you want to talk blue states? You want to talk blue states? There are 25 state senators. I'm the only Republican out of the 25. There are 51 House members. There are 7 Republicans. I refer to them as the 7 dwarves. I'm the only conservative in the state of Hawaii in the legislature. We have a governor who used to be in the Congress for 20 years, Neil Abercrombie, who was a Marxist then and is a Marxist now. We have 4 congressmen, 2 senators, and 2 representatives, all Democrats. So you want to talk about blue states? We are a blue state. But we've given you a lot in this country. We've given you Steve McGarrett. We've given you Eric Snowden and the leakers. And best of all, we've given you maybe one of our native-born, Barry Barack Hussein Obama, who's never drawn a red line that he remembers or can pass. In Hawaii, just like everywhere else, after Newtown, there was a flurry of activity to try to pass a lot of more laws because we are very restrictive. There were more than 2 dozen laws proposed during our legislative session this past year. Only one of them did pass with that heavy Democrat majority, the heavy liberal progressive majority. Only one of them passed because of citizen effort. And the one that passed requires now photographs, fingerprints, and background checks if you live in Hawaii but purchase a firearm from outside the state. There were ammunition bans, there were assault weapon bans, there were more registration. Oh, yes, and we got into the mentally ill as well, but when we looked around at our elected officials, we dropped mentally ill real quickly. We talk every year at GRPC about the federal activities and also about state and local. And sometimes you feel that, you know, everything is on national level and you don't have very much control. But you do, like the folks from the Buckeye State, like Alice or Linda, she's still a trip, whatever, from Texas. You have the maximum amount of influence, but you've got to use it. You've got to be involved. We've got an election coming up next year, a major election, but we need candidates now. We need you and me to get involved. Help those candidates, or be a candidate yourself. Stand for something. You've got an opportunity to do that. You know, Jeff Knox, my friend, was up here earlier, and he was talking about his surgery on his spine. At least Jeff Knox and all of you have a spine. Yeah. You've got to remind the politicians who have gotten very monarchical. They believe that they are special. I don't know about the finger that John Fund was talking about. I know about another finger. But you've got to ground them. You've got to remind them, Democrats and some Republicans as well. It's irregardless of party. It's principle. It's political spine. It's standing for something. And you can help make that a reality. You know, in Hawaii, we are kind of a testing ground for every wacky new piece of social legislation because they feel that because of the trade winds, because of our visit annually by Mr. Obama and family at millions of dollars in cost, because of our nearness to one of our dear neighbors, Kim Il-sung from North Korea, that we're a special place. And we are a beautiful place. We're a beautiful state. But mark my words, the public, the patriots, have to stand up more and never give up. People ask me why every year I introduce open carry and concealed carry laws, and they haven't gotten hearings yet. Well, they did years ago, but even the law enforcement people came in and testified against them. I won't give up. I'm focused. I know what I'm there for. And I try to encourage people like the Hawaii Rifle Association and others to stand with me. And that's what you have to do, too, because believe it or not, you've got a great deal more power and a great deal more influence. People will listen to you. They know you. They don't know the congressman. They don't know some fancy lobbyist, but they know you. So the first thing is become better informed, become better educated, and learn how to speak out and tell others what they've got to do, and they've got to be engaged, and they've got to be involved, because even with looking at numbers and looking at the political landscape, it's not a done deal, and nothing is inevitable. Every person plays a major part. Every major role in history was started by one person, good or not so good. So I'll leave you with this message about your importance and about your role. It's from Edward Everett Hale, 175 years ago. I am one. I am only one. But still I am one. I can't do everything, but still I can do something. And just because I can't do everything, I won't refuse to do the something I can do. Let's get out there and do it. Aloha.
I'm going to handle this like an AA meeting because of from where I am. Hi, my name is Frank, and I'm a New Jersey gun owner.
Hi, Frank.
Thank you, thank you. See, he knows. Hi, Frank. Okay. I'm only here really because Snooki couldn't make it, so I hope you're not disappointed. She may be. She's not a New Jersey girl, but she may be a gun owner. There is a rumor going around that Illinois was the last no-issue state, and I'm here to disabuse you of the conception. We are considered to be a may-issue state in New Jersey, but they do not issue carry permits to civilians. So if we're talking about issuing carry permits to police officers, armored car drivers, and private investigators and security guards, that's true. They do issue them. But what we have in New Jersey is you have to demonstrate what is described as a justifiable need. Well, the courts in New Jersey interpret justifiable need as an imminent threat to your life. So unless you walk into the police department with somebody holding a gun to your head, you're not going to be granted a permit to carry. Now, of course, understandable, we still have the right to carry a firearm. We'd just go to jail for 7 years if we do so. And for anyone who thinks that that might not be the case, I believe there's a gentleman here today that's going to disabuse you of that. Brian Aiken, I hope, is here. I know he was supposed to be speaking later. This is a gentleman who was a New Jersey boy, moved to Colorado, came back, and in the process of moving his legal firearms, wound up getting accused of unlawful possession of a firearm and was sentenced to 7 years in prison. And it's only by virtue of all you people and all the people in New Jersey and all the people throughout the United States who petitioned our governor, rabidly petitioned our governor, Christie, who, by the way, is no fan of gun rights. And I say that because eventually he's going to try to run for president, and you need to know that. Right. But it was only due to that outrage that he was released. His sentence was commuted, but he was still a felon. Now, he's since overturned two of the charges against him, and he's working on the third, hopefully. But he'll tell you his own story. But what the truth is in New Jersey is that if you are in the mere possession of an unloaded handgun in particular, an unloaded handgun locked in the trunk of your car, separate from the ammunition, you are guilty of a second-degree felony. You start off with that, unless you fall under some very narrowly defined, is that me? some narrowly defined exemptions, such as you can own it in your home, you can take it to and from the range with only reasonable deviations. I don't know how many lawyers we have in the room, a lot. But if you guys can interpret what that means, I would really appreciate it because no one in New Jersey knows. You go to and from the gunsmith, to and from the point of purchase. And this is the truth. I know I see some, mouths hanging open and eyes agog, but that is the truth. We do not have any right to possess a firearm, a handgun in particular. You know, if you want to walk down the street with an unloaded shotgun over your shoulder, you can do that. But a concealable firearm, you have no right to possess it in New Jersey. So we are coming from behind. We have a lot of catch up to do. Obviously, Texas is here. New Jersey is under the stage. And I'm going to do Julianne a favor and try to wrap this up before. I'm going to play Beat the Buzzer. real quickly. So as I said, it's a 5 to 7 year prison sentence just for mere possession now. No criminal background, no criminal intent. You're not holding up a Wawa. Presumptive 7 to 10, I'm sorry. Presumptive 7, minimum 5, 3 years without parole. And I will tell you that what we faced in New Jersey, with all the new legislation that was implemented after the Newtown murders. Okay, that was the bell. I'm just going to say real quickly that they had the nerve to, during those hearings, to march in the parents of the children that were murdered into our legislative, our law and public safety hearings. That's how desperate they are to defeat us. We have to be more desperate. Thank you very much.
And I want everybody to remember that we do have an ongoing case. Drake. Well, this is its third name, so I get confused.
Yeah, no, Drake, right.
Piscatori, and I don't remember second one.
First it was not, Mueller, then
yeah, but now it's Drake. It's much simpler. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sean, since you were last year's co-host at GRPC, thank you.
Good morning, and greetings from the Gunshine State of Florida.
Right.
Great to be back here in Houston. I'm originally from Houston, so neat to be back on my old stomping grounds. I went to high school here. You know, Florida's kind of started this path that we've all been on toward concealed carry licenses in the country. There was a couple before that, but it really started this modern trend of we're going to have this shall issue concealed carry license. And a lot of our laws that have happened in Florida have been exported to other states. It's really been, it's really been for gun legislation a laboratory that we've been able to use throughout the country. And one of those laws that really got brought to light in Florida was the Stand Your Ground law. And there's a lot of misconception about what that law is, what it does, and what it means to Floridians and to people all over the country. And we see that law under constant attack right now because someone defended themselves against getting their head bashed in. But it was politically inconvenient for that to happen. So we have a legislature that for the past 2 years has been on a constant attack to try and repeal the law that says that you don't have to turn your back on a criminal attacker, that you can meet force with force, and even the law that says that if someone breaks into your home in the middle of the night, that you can presume that they're there to do you harm. They're trying to roll back self-defense rights. They know they can't really do much with our concealed carry licenses there. They've given up trying to repeal that anymore. After 25 years, they've finally gotten the message that the legislature there is just not going to stand for it. And with over a million concealed carry holders in the state, they figure the people aren't going to let them get away with that either. So we're at this point where we really should just be on defense. That's what I'm told by a lot of our legislators. Hey, don't file any bills. We're on defense here. We had the ridiculous one that said that if you want to buy ammunition, you need to first bring in your certificate saying that you've taken anger management classes. So we should be on defense against these things. And I talked to a few of the legislators that we know and who work with us regularly, and I said, are you nuts? Hell no, we're going on the offensive. So right now we have four bills that we're filing this year, in addition to the seven that we already have filed against us, and our legislative session doesn't even start until March. So we're pre-filing bills now, and we're going to be ramping into committee weeks come the end of the year before the legislature actually meets. One of our good friends there in the legislature who has been reviewing the Stand Your Ground and was called to bring another special committee to review the Stand Your Ground law said something very important. He said, well, when it comes to the Stand Your Ground provision, we're not going to change one damn comma. We are looking to make some changes to self-defense immunity law, though, because it has a problem. In Florida, if you come under a criminal attack and a judge later sitting in a courtroom decides that, well, the attack wasn't quite violent enough, and all you did, break concealment and show, I have a firearm, back off, after someone's attacking you, guess what? You just committed an aggravated assault, and you face mandatory minimum sentencing, because there's no exception to mandatory minimum sentencing for someone who's acting in self-defense, and showing a gun was an improper escalation of force. This isn't what the legislature intended. Our judges made this up, and they've been whittling away at it, so we're trying to snap back the courts with some better legislative intent language and some and a better law. So yeah, it's great in Florida. We've got great gun laws, except for when we don't, except for when our legislators let the courts get away with things and do not hold them to task. And that's really been the focus right now. So as we go forward with this, it's a huge fight. We need you guys supporting your state organizations. There's nothing we can do without the support of people. I go up to the legislature, and I have no power myself. The only thing that gives me any authority there to talk to our legislators and have them actually listen to me is the 12,000 Florida Carry members that stand behind me. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jim?
Good morning. My name is Jim Irvine. I am president of Buckeye Firearms Foundation and chairman of our Buckeye Firearms Association. In Ohio, it's been generally accepted that you can only pass one pro-gun bill a year. We broke through that last year, passed not two but three bills, the last of which went into March of this year, which we removed our demonstrated competency for renewals and fixed our really a bastardized definition of what a loaded gun was, and also had the firearms, the no gun signs removed from the state house parking garages and other state-owned buildings. This year, like other states, we've seen a huge amount of both pro and anti-gun bills. Thankfully, we had a good election last November. Elections matter. Our legislators will play defense for us, allowing us to go on offense. So we've got two really big bills, I think, that will probably move in the next couple months. House Bill 203 will get us automatic reciprocity, which will help with Indiana, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Colorado, and yes, Texas to get agreements here. We're going to reduce our training from 12 to either 4 or 6 hours. We're going to accept DD-214s as training for our military members, issue out-of-state licenses to people who work in Ohio. That one's really important for a school teacher who, say, lives in Kentucky and works in Cincinnati. You need a concealed carry license from the state you are in for your schools. Our concealed handgun license will become a NICS-compliant check. We're going to, the political one, is eliminate duty to retreat or pass danger ground legislation, and also provide that peaceably exercising a constitutional right, open carry, is not a violation of the disorderly conduct or inducing panic laws. The other bill is House Bill 231, which seeks to eliminate a lot of our victim zones, secure areas of police stations, airports, government buildings, churches, daycare centers, and also will allow universities to authorize the carry and changing some felonies to misdemeanors. I think both of those bills you'll see moving in the coming months and hopefully be signed into law, if not this year, early next year. This is the first year our foundation actually has clipped our association in work. Like all of you, Newtown, Connecticut touched us deeply. And it is frustrating that after every one of these killings, we talk about all sorts of things, but not do anything about it. So at a town hall meeting the week after Sandy Hook televised, we announced that we were done talking. We were going to do something. We were going to train a class of 24 teachers and provide their tuition, their room and board, their meals, their hotels, their ammunition, everything, to train a class of 24 teachers to carry guns in schools. I was mocked. Did I really think I could find 24 people that teachers don't want to carry guns? The class went outstanding. It was a 3-day class, covered all sorts of things. Our only problem was when we were done, we trained 24 out of 1,500 people that wanted to be trained. And so you can't pat yourself on the back and call that a job well done. So this turned into an enormous project. We ran 6 more classes over the summer. We've got more classes already planned for next year. We're going to do a Train the Trainers Day. So if there's people here or groups in your state who want to know what we're doing, it's a 3-day class that covers not just shooting, but tactics, mindset, and medical trauma care after the incident. It's an all-around approach to this problem. Contact me anytime afterwards, and I'll be happy to discuss what we've done. But the bottom line is we have teachers and administrators in school last week and next week and from here forward protecting our kids in Ohio schools. And this is something that is picking up steam, and it will come to your states. You don't have to have full authorization to carry there, just the school board authority too. And one by one, they're realizing this is the only way to keep our kids safe. And whether you love or hate guns, everybody hates having their kids get slaughtered. And this is something that we can win, and we can win it nationally. So it's an important thing. Lastly, I want to touch on Colorado. I know you're going to hear more about that today. Several people have thanked us. We sent 3 people out to Colorado for a week before those recall elections to help out there. And I have to say, it's not so much to help Colorado, it was to help Ohio. Like Hitler and the Nazis, Bloomberg looks for targets he can pick off and win. And the idea is to take those one at a time until there's nobody left to protect you. And it is incumbent on all of us to go to Colorado and help them. And now that that's won, to go to Virginia and help in that governor's race. And that anywhere Bloomberg and his minions or other people want to attack our rights, we all need a unified fight to go there and defend them so that we've got everybody else left when they come to our state to help us beat that back. That's the only way we're going to win this, and I think that's probably the most important thing to take out of this conference. Thank you very much.
I want to thank everyone. We are now going to have a 15-minute break.